You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show is broadcast live to Facebook. We're joined by two awesome special guests. We're always proud to welcome back Max Cherky. He's the director of the upcoming May Day and Lockdown. We first knew him from the movie Insane. He's got so many cool movies out there. And he brought a special guest with him. Max brought with him ECW and WWE hardcore legend Al Snow. Al's been popping up in a lot of really cool independent horror. First thing we saw him in was The Haunting of Alice Dee. He's been in so many other things, though. And word on the streets is that him and Max are going to be working together. But yeah, it's going to be a good one. So as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one with an open chat room. You can interact with the guests. And also, if you're listening to us on the audio podcast, which you are, obviously, please go over to thedorkening.com and check out all of the other shows that are associated with the Dorkening Podcast Network. Some awesome stuff out there. Really good shows. Really good people that are putting out some great content. Once again, thanks for listening and enjoy the show. We had a lot of technical issues, but we are live. With us today, we have Kevin.
What's up, everybody?
Wolfman.
Oh!
Tony.
What is going on, people?
Yo.
Yo.
CP.
Yeah. Let's go.
And our very special guest, we do have Max Cherky.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you for joining us. And the most awesome Al Snow. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Thank you guys very much for having me on and giving me the time.
Certainly. And I'll kick it over to Kevin.
So, Al, you're a legend in a lot of people's eyes here. It's awesome to talk to you. You a lot of people know you from your career in wrestling, but we also know you from your kind of newer, not really new, but you've been in a lot of really cool independent horror movies. I know you have something in the works with Max.
Yes.
Can you maybe talk a little bit about what you guys have coming up?
Well, I'm very excited. I get to work with Max. Max and I have known each other for quite a few years, and we've just always, it's just never, you know, been in the cards. It's, you know, we've come close. Always been a bridesmaid, but never a bride. We've wanted to work together and have tried a couple times and almost got it. And then, just didn't happen. So, you know, Max's reputation precedes him. I mean, you know, and when I, you know, got to speak to him and had the opportunity, I was really excited. And am now, you know, that I have the opportunity to finally, you know, for us to make it happen and for the two of us to work together. It's going to be very exciting, very, very cool, very fun, you know, and a challenge, but a good, in a good way, which, you know, I love that, you know, being challenged that way and doing something that I'm passionate about doing.
It's a porn. Let's say the truth. We're doing a porn.
Doing a porn.
I don't know if porn would be commercially that viable unless I were doing like audio, you know, blind porn, you know, porn for the blind, something like that.
Shot in Braille.
Yeah. Because I'm, you know, I look amazing in the dark. You turn off the light, I just like my attractive factor just goes up by like 10%, you know, if I turn off the light.
From the man who just got married. All right.
Yeah.
I keep her coked up and drunk, you know. I just know. You know, I know what to do. I hide her glasses.
So what's the movie that you and Max I know you can't probably say too much about it, but what is it?
You can't say the title.
Can or can't?
Can we say can or can't?
Can't
say the title, okay? But it has a very interesting premise, And, you know, geez, how can I say this and be vague but yet interesting? Let me see.
You can say everything you want except for the title, so feel free.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's like I said, an interesting premise involving some young, I'm sure, nubile young girls and probably the prospect of intended violence that will never quite happen because it'll be thwarted by some younger, better looking, good looking guy who will, you know, stop us from following through. So.
That works. That's a
okay.
That's a pretty good concept for a movie. Yeah. So we've seen you in a bunch of other stuff as well. We actually had Jessica Sonneborn on. I think we've had her on a couple times. Yeah. For the
Haunting of Alice D. She's free.
Yeah. So Haunting of Alice D. That was pretty great. We how was it like? What was it like working on that one?
All positive. I mean, you got Kane Hodder, who has years and years of experience. You got, you know, Jessica Sonneborn that was directing, you know, and I think it might've been like her directorial debut or something. But she was fantastic to work with, because for me, you have to understand, like, my experience is derived from wrestling, which acting is a natural extension of what I've been doing, but it is dramatically different in one of the one senses is that in professional wrestling, I'm in front of a live audience and it's very much a living, breathing experience. It all takes place right then and there. And you get immediate feedback of what the story you're telling, the character you're playing, if it's working, not working, you can adjust, you can do everything in the moment. Where in acting, you really have to rely on, you know, the director to kind of give you that feedback, you know, because you, to be quite honest, you don't know, you know, you read the script, you have an idea, and of the vision and the story that the director wants told, and your character and what role it plays a part in, and then, you know, you, in turn, then try to do that without that immediate feedback, because you really don't know how it plays out in front of the audience until, God knows how long it takes to, you know, in post production, and then, you know, you finally get to sit with and by or in an audience that's watching it, and then watch their reaction and interaction with what you have done on the screen. Now, granted, it lasts, quite honestly, forever, whatever you do, as opposed to, you know, a wrestling match is, you know, very much in that moment, and then creates a memory, an emotional connection that creates a memory, and the memory lasts forever, but, you know, you can't go tell your friends, hey, you got to go watch this, and then, you know, go back and, you know, even if you watch it on video or whatever, it's not the same as if you were right there live at that moment in that time, where a movie, if it's done correctly, you know, think of Wizard of Oz, and, you know, that was done in what, 1938, I think, 37? And 39. And, you know, you can sit there and see that performance, you know, today on your television screen and be affected and get caught up in the story, no different than those people did in 1939. And that's the magic of making a film, but, you know, you've got to rely on that director and their, you know, and whether or not you're fulfilling their vision by being that character within that story. So it's a big difference. And, you know, that's why I'm excited to work with Max and, you know, that's why I enjoyed working with Jessica, because she was, you know, Sonneborn, because she was right there. And she would, you know, she would tell you, okay, well, that's not quite, or do more of this, or, you know, turn right, or, you know, slow down or speed up, that kind of stuff. And it's a much more of a challenge. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's a, it's exciting, you know, because it's something I can pursue and be passionate about just as much as I was about my wrestling career for 36 years.
So, Al, Wolfie here, just wondering, are you a horror fan?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I love horror films. Yeah. They got to be good, though. You know what I mean? They can't just be the typical pandering film. One of the ones I just recently saw that was really, I enjoyed because it was so different, was, gosh, what was it? It was about the girl and the boy who break into the house of the blind guy. Don't breathe. And you know, what a different take, you know, in a different way of doing it, and to build, you know, the suspense and the tension and the, you know, and the actual horror of some of the things that played out in the movie. I mean, it was a good movie. It was really enjoyable to watch.
That's the second blind reference from Al Snow tonight. We've counted.
I've got plenty.
No, that's. I agree with you. They got to be good. One I just saw recently was They Come at Night, or It Comes at Night. A lot of the same stuff that you were saying, you know, a lot of built tension over that.
Yeah. I you know, there is a place for the blatant or revulsion factor, you know, the shock factor and the gore factor. There is a place for that. But much like anything, if it's overdone, then you become desensitized to it even through the course of a movie. But you know, that anticipation, that suspense, that if it's drawn out correctly, and then finally there is also along with it, you know, coupled with it, you know, that gore and that, and done the right way, boy, I mean, it'll leave an impression on you. You know, it will, you know, make you glance over your shoulder when you're leaving the movie theater, or, you know, at home at night by yourself. You know, those are the good ones.
Al, you were bringing up the differences between professional wrestling and filming on movies. Is there a more gratifying, well, to you, is there something more gratifying to a long-term narrative with your story as you were doing in wrestling, as opposed to just trusting the process and not really having it come out anytime that you could recognize until you're done?
Well, of course, I'm going to say that it's more gratifying because, you know, that's what I know and that's what I've done. But like I said, the big thing is that, you know, I mean, I don't know. They are a natural, like acting is, and is very much coupled to, and is similar to, and I do say similar, but not exactly the same as professional wrestling. They are very much a distinct, different art form from each other, and each have their own individual challenges and rewards. You know, in wrestling, you know, I'm used to pretty much a lot of freedom as far as what character I am, what I play. You know, there is some kind of a little bit of direction and idea, but they kind of take what I do and then capitalize on it. Then I'm given a loose direction as far as what they want me to have the audience leaving thinking, feeling, or believing for that particular event or night. And then, you know, it's up to me to however I want to do that, I got to do that, which in acting, I mean, it's pretty much the same, but I don't know. It's a little more it's a lot faster. It's a lot more in the moment with wrestling. You know, if I do an interview or I do a promo or do a vignette, you know, I'm given a general idea sometimes. Sometimes I'm not even given that. And then, you know, I have to make it an emotional impression that strong enough that drives an audience to want to see what that next chapter is in that story based on that vignette, promo, or interview. within 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, and I have to do it bigger. I have to do all of my personality, all of my action. I have to do much like a stage actor who's trying to play to the back of the house. I'm trying to play to 20,000 people, you know, and on four sides. You know, it's theater in the round, but I'm trying to always play to the highest seat. Where in acting, you know, you've got to pull it all in. You know, you've got, because you're doing it for just that very small lens, as opposed to that guy that's sitting, you know, 25 rows up, and you're not doing it for all four sides. You're doing it with a singular focus, and now you're not doing it in 30 seconds. You're doing it in, you know, whatever feels right and natural and normal in the moment. And that was a big adjustment. I mean, it was, and I'm still learning and adjusting to that. It's dramatically different for, you know, for wrestlers to think that they can just step out of one world and into the next, because of the slight similarities. They're in for a surprise. It's a different world, and it has its own set of, you know, rules and expectations and etiquette and et cetera that are completely different than they are in the wrestling world. So, you know, I'm very grateful to get experience and get opportunities, especially a great opportunity like this with Max. You know, it gives me such a chance to learn things and to develop and to continue to grow. And that maybe at some point I can, you know, really focus on and pursue this as a second career.
Was it something you always wanted to do, was to act, like getting out of the wrestling industry? Did you always want to become an actor?
No, I've always toyed with it and had an interest in it. And my main thrust has been to try to find something that I would be as equally passionate about as I have been about my wrestling career. And really the only reason that I chose acting was again, like, one was because it was a natural extension of what I've been doing. But more importantly, it was something I thought that I could really throw myself into and be just as passionate about and just as driven about as what I was with the wrestling career. And because the you know, whenever you pursue something, especially like if you're an athlete, I'm sure, you know, if any of you guys, you know, played to any degree and had a, you know, a career of any sort, even if it were just a high school career, the hardest part is coming to grips with your own mortality as a performer, you know, as a wrestler or as an athlete of any sort. You know, everything has a life, a beginning, a middle, and an end, and everything dies. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to handle the mortality of your real life as opposed to your career's life. Because it's especially a career that takes so much dedication and so much focus and so much sacrifice and passion to pursue, and then to pursue and not only you know, be able to do any modicum of success, but actually reach the top level. You know, when that ends, it's like, well, okay, well, now what do I do? You know, I've got to spend another however many years, you know, just what, working a regular job. I mean, that don't fly. You know, you got to find something that drives you as much as what you've already had. And
yeah, for me, that's
that was acting.
So you can be a hitman. You know, it's a good job.
Yeah, I could be a hitman. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I got to learn how to make sure I actually shoot, you know, straight. But other than that, you know.
Haven't you been training wrestlers on and off, or am I incorrect in that assumption?
No, I have been training wrestlers. I was head of the developmental training for WWE for several years. And then, you know, I had created a developmental program for Impact Wrestling, TNA. Mm-hmm. And then I have training facilities called Al Snow's Wrestling Academy. I have four in the UK. I have one in Denmark, one in Romania, one in Greece, one in Portugal, and also one in Chile. You know, I enjoy that very much. I mean, it's very satisfying and very rewarding, and something that I can direct myself to. But at the same time, I want to do other things. I want to face other challenges, and the acting can present that for me.
Now, I'm just going to butt in here for a second. So I want to let everybody know that we do have the chat rooms open on Facebook and YouTube. So if you have questions for Al, we're taking them now, and one of the fine gentlemen here will ask them during the live stream. Also, if you're new to the show, we have a sponsor here, Deadly Grounds Coffee. Absolutely love this stuff, but we're going to play their commercial right now.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds Coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds Coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
And we're back, and so so Deadly Grounds, if you head on over and check the show notes down below or up above, you'll find information about them. It's deadlygroundscoffee.com, and I'm drinking the chocolate right now. Oh my god, this coffee is good. It's another thing is Horror Pack. Wanted us to let everybody know that in the February pack, they have the Soska Sisters movie, Dead Hooker in a Trunk. And that information was just released today.
So it's exclusive to Horror Pack.
Boy, if I had a dollar for every time that happened.
Yeah. You'd have a dollar.
And Kevin, you had a question there?
All right, so we were supposed to mention, what is it called? I'm sorry?
Collar and Elbow.
Yes, collarandelbowbrand.com, collarandelbowbrand.com. It was, I've started a clothing line. Basically, it is, it's a wrestling brand. That's why I call it Collar and Elbow, is because I tried to appeal not just to professional wrestling, but if you're a fan of wrestling in general, if you're MMA, jiu-jitsu, catch wrestling, submission wrestling, judo, freestyle, Greco-Roman, all forms of wrestling kind of start out with some form of collar and elbow tie up. And so that was why I came up with the name, and we're trying to create a brand, much like Nike or Under Armour or Tap Out.
Nice.
We're trying to create one for wrestling. And if you're a wrestling fan, you know, you're passionate about and enjoy wrestling in any of its forms, you know, we thought we'd try it. We try to create designs that represent that, but at the same time, like, you can wear them anywhere and, you know, not feel like, you know, how can I say this? Like, if you're a fan of heavy metal, you know, and you want to, you know, you got a cool shirt, you know, but the minute you wear it out, everybody goes, oh, well, that's a heavy metal shirt. You know, you got that at a heavy metal concert, you know, and not everybody's a fan of heavy metal. But if you wear a heavy metal shirt that has a cool design, that if you're a fan of heavy metal, you can connect, you can relate, you get it. But if you're not a fan of it, you just look at the design, you go, hey, that's a cool shirt. I like that.
Low key. Yeah.
Low key.
Can I wear it at a wedding?
You can't really wear it at a wedding. I wouldn't suggest that. But, you know, depending on the wedding.
I mean, depends on the wedding.
Married, I didn't wear it at mine because I thought that would have got me. But
I will wear it on the set, actually.
Yes, I will be bringing you collar and elbow.
Please. One is okay.
But, you know, we are building the brand, and we're trying to do something a little different as far as a marketing plan, because the biggest hurdle that any business has to overcome when it first starts is to get the brand out in front of your audience and, you know, as many people as you can for, you know, and effectively with as little of money as you can. So what we did was we decided that we would actually utilize the independent wrestlers, much like comedians and that do stand-up comedy, or actors who are just starting out. You know, they don't have a established brand name, so when they go and they perform at any given place, it's not like they can, you know, capitalize on that brand that they've established and try to sell any of their own type of merchandise. Lots of wrestlers and lots of stand-up comics do this to make extra money to kind of, you know, survive. And by creating this brand, we've decided to create the marketing plan. We let the independent wrestlers, we call them sponsored athletes, we give them a code, a discount code, and which allows, you know, a customer to take 10% off of whatever they purchase at the website, whatever piece of apparel. If they use that code for that independent wrestler gets a payout for that apparel that was sold, and thus allows him to maybe help support himself and pursue his dream, and, you know, and also helps market the brand to a much larger audience for us. And we did that to kind of give back to the wrestling and wrestlers and give the fans with a discount. And at the same time, we also allow customers to round up the purchases. So that money that we round up off of every purchase, we donate to Cauliflower Alley Club. I don't know if any of you know what that is. It's a charitable organization that's been in existence for several decades, quite honestly. It's been probably since the 60s that they created it. And all of their funds go to help former professional wrestlers and professional boxers, you know, with charitable needs. And just recently they helped a handicapped wrestler with the purchase of buying a handicap accessible van so that he'd be able to get around more easily. So we, you know, we donate that money to kind of give back to wrestling as well. So, you know, we created the brand to really show and exhibit our love and passion for professional wrestling and wrestling in general. To kind of, you know, because we're all just fans of it, and to kind of share it with everyone else.
Awesome.
That's just really
collar and awesome. collarandelbowbrand.com. Got a lot of cool stuff.
Cool. Yeah, definitely go check it out.
What's the website again?
collarandelbowbrand.com.
Perfect. I heard it the first time, but it's better you repeat it.
Oh, it's always better if I repeat
it. It's always better the second time.
Yeah,
Advertisement.
So, Al, I know.
Yeah,
I
heard
Sorry, go ahead, Tony.
No, I was going to say I heard the Cauliflower Alley Club from the Resurrection of Jake the Snake, that documentary about him.
Yeah, it's a wonderful group. I mean, they really are. And they, you know, they do a lot of great work. And they're pretty much they're unsung heroes. Nobody really knows about them unless you're, you know, within the, you know, like boxing or wrestling world. Nobody really knows of them, and they just go out. They've been doing it for a very, very long time.
Nice. What happened to Tony Camera? It looks like it was eaten by a nuclear bomb or something.
Looks kind of weird,
doesn't it?
Wow. Yeah. I think he's mad.
Yeah.
We do have some comments over on YouTube. The Bearded Slasher is saying Snow was a trainer on Tough Enough, if he's not mistaken. Also, CP, how did you get to star in a Deadly Grounds commercial? he wants to know if where did it go? Damn it!
About a mannequin head. If there's going to be a mannequin head in the upcoming movie.
Oh, everybody, head will be on set. I mean, I don't go anywhere without them. If I did, you know, once I get home, I can never hear the end of it. I mean, never end complaints. You know, if I don't take them with me, of course I take them with me. They want me to buy a plane ticket. I'm like, I'm not buying you a plane ticket. You fit in the bag, and you can ride in the overhead bin. And they're like, well, we can't breathe when we're in the overhead bin. I'm like, if you couldn't breathe, I wouldn't be able to hear you because you wouldn't be able to talk because you have no air. So quit lying. And then they start with the, I don't like to go through the TSA because I think the x-ray is going to give me cancer. And I'm like, if it would give you cancer, then the TSA agents would be like wearing lead vests and all that kind of stuff. So shut up. Just ride in the bag. We'll get where we need to go. I'll take you out. We'll be fine. I'll take you to dinner. We'll be good. And no, we're not going to go to a strip club because if I take him to a strip club, we're out drinking and whoring all night. So
there we go.
So where did the idea of head come from back when you were
with WWE? Well, I met them in New Britain, Connecticut. We caught eyes across the room, and it was immediately, it was love at first sight. We knew there was a connection. I heard, you know, they spoke to me, I spoke to them in a way that no one else could quite understand or hear. And then that was where the medical situation came in, where they all diagnosed me as crazy, you know, that I was insane, I needed to take medication. Well, when really, I'm not the insane one, Head is, because Head has multiple personalities and has a lot of problems, so. Well, we won't even talk about their kleptomania, but it doesn't matter if they have kleptomania because they have no hands. It's not like they can steal anything.
Yeah, Head was a crazy one.
Don't let them put on hats. You know what I mean? Because they will take a hat.
So besides that, obviously, I mean, I'm sure you had like, you know, people that maybe like influenced you in your career, whether it be in wrestling or acting. But is like, who were some of your influences in acting? Like to possibly push yourself to maybe really take that step to get into the regular acting?
I love, to be quite honest, I love Burt Reynolds. And I can't think of his name, but I think that as a child actor, the kid that played Ralphie in A Christmas Story, so underrated.
Peter Billingsley, that's his name.
Peter Billingsley, yes. So underrated. I'm trying to think of the people that I honestly would consider myself to be a true fan of. Christopher Walken. Again, Burt Reynolds. I'm trying to think of, right? You guys caught me like, Dean Martin. Dean Martin is my all-time, unquestionably, without a doubt, my favorite. Without a doubt. Because I feel like he is so underrated for all of his talent, charisma, and ability in every facet of entertainment that if I were to aspire to be anybody, I would want to aspire to be Dean Martin.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
Dean Martin of Kansas.
What's that?
Martin of Kansas.
Yeah. Well, I'd be the Dean Martin of Kentucky. I don't want to live in Kansas. I'll live in Kentucky, but I ain't going to live in Kansas. Even people who live in Kansas don't want to live in Kansas. Come on. The only place worse on the map of the United States than Kansas is Indiana. I mean, come on.
I meant Kentucky.
Yeah. We don't mind Kentucky. At least Kentucky, if it gets bad here, there's enough bourbon you can just get drunk and forget about it. But, you know, Kansas, David, Christmas.
Oh, wait a second. Kevin, you're going to say New Jersey and not Connecticut?
Well, yeah. Well, just everyone hates New Jersey, right?
Well, that's true. I don't know why. I mean, I kind of like New Jersey, but yeah, you're right. I mean, everybody historically has always hated New Jersey. I know that the joke used to be that they were going to make a new Brooklyn Zoo, and that was going to be they were going to put a fence up around New Jersey. So
George Carlin had it. Gets it where it smells. Take it to New Jersey.
Yeah,
the young kid of America. Yeah. I understand. I got you.
One of the guys is from New Jersey. That's one of the other reasons I brought it up too.
You're lucky I had my microphone on mute.
Yeah, okay.
It's the whole Northeast thing, you know. It's that whole thing where everybody in the Northeast believes that civilization ends at like the Pennsylvania border. Like that, everything after that is just like, you know, we should just build a wall at Pennsylvania and just. That should be it. So,
yep, that's pretty fair.
Yep. 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 That's so, pretty fair.
So Al, in your 36 years of wrestling, do you have like one or two favorite matches overall?
I'd love to say yeah, but it, you know, it's so hard because for one, I love every time I get out in front of an audience and, you know, get the opportunity to perform. And that's the truth. I mean, it's not a pandering response. I mean, I really do. And because if I didn't, I wouldn't have done it for as long as I've done it. And, you know, and it's hard to pick just one or two, you know, when, you know, like when I first started, I was wrestling 7 nights a week, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, start again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, and it was, so you do a lot of matches and it's kind of tough to just go, oh, you know, this particular one.
Do you have a favorite pop, a favorite fan reaction that you can go back and say, you know what, that was really awesome?
Probably the one that really stands out more than anything else would be the ECW pay-per-view Asbury Park, New Jersey. We had maybe a house of about 5,000 people, and you know, they had passed out styrofoam heads to every living person in that building, and you know, I came out with the strobe lights and the music, and it no pun intended, it looked like a blizzard. It looked like a snowstorm in the it was incredible. I mean, it was just such an amazing moment. It really was.
I remember that. That's when everybody was tossing styrofoam head in the ring, correct?
Yeah. And guys, you'd be surprised, but those things actually hurt. When guys wing them along, you know, the audience wings them at you, boy, they kind of sting when they hit you.
So your favorite another moment thing, was getting head from an entire audience.
Yeah, 5,000. You get head from 5,000 people at once. It's pretty impressive.
And people had to pay to watch it from home. Yeah,
kind of tough to outdo that, boys. Let me tell you. You can have your threesome. I'll have my 5,000.
There you go.
Yeah.
The other question I want to ask you about was working with Marty Jannetty as the new Rockers.
It was great. You know, he's such a talented guy, and really, I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves. I know, you know, the thing in wrestling is who's going to be the Marty Jannetty of the team, you know, but I don't think that's a diss against Marty Jannetty, you know. That might be a testament to how much charisma, you know, Shawn Michaels had to have to outshine Marty Jannetty. Because Marty was a really talented guy, especially if you consider how many times he would kind of self-destruct. Vince would let him go and then bring him back. And the only reason that Vince will ever bring you back, because unlike the difference with wrestling from any other form of entertainment, there are no ifs, ands, and buts about this, is that you serve only two purposes in wrestling. You are either the thing that is motivating an audience to leave their house and pay to see you, or you are one of the things that help to motivate that audience to leave their house and pay to see you. There is no third option. There is no, oh, well, he's an exceptional wrestler or a performer or this or that. You either serve one of those two purposes or you don't exist. That's simple. And for Vince to continuously bring Marty back and give him opportunity after opportunity meant that he saw the potential for Marty to be one of those two things.
Yeah. I always thought it was kind of a shame that, Marty definitely deserved to shine as, you know, as the wrestler that he was, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. But he has his own demons, and a lot of that is what prevented him from it. And, you know, but still, what an amazing, you know, guy. He's a great person and an amazing performer. And I learned a lot and was very lucky to get to have the time that I had with him.
So, have you brought any of your wrestling characters into your movie character roles?
Not yet. I haven't really had one that, you know, like being a paranoid schizophrenic with transference disorder would kind of translate into the character that I was playing. So I could, I mean, it'd be easy, you know, for me to be believably insane, but I've done it for enough years, that's for sure.
So we got a bunch of people watching on YouTube, Facebook, and we have some people watching on Periscope as well. So don't be shy. Ask some questions in the chat room. KB says, hello, Mr. Snow, from fellow Northwest Ohioan. KB from Ohio. And
The
Bearded Slasher wants to know, did Head and Saturn's Mop, a.k.a. Moppy, have an illegitimate child together?
No. Head and I have been very monogamous. You know, because once you find good heads, you can't lose it. And you know, even Pepe, Chavo's horse, and several other people who have had other objects that they brought to the ring, you know, none could bear the head. I mean, come on, let's face it. Everybody wants, needs, and loves head. So it has a universal appeal. At one point in time, I did make a play at trying to be some kind of peace ambassador with the United States and, you know, approach the president about it, figuring that there would be easy to correct any of the issues that we have around the world, especially in the Middle East, if we just gave them all a little head. So I mean, it's done wonders for me. I wouldn't have had a career if it hadn't been for the fact that I found myself a little head. So.
Good points. All good points.
Yeah. Well, we are coming up on the 10 o'clock hour, so I want to remind everybody watching, if you have questions, now's the time to get them in. And we do have a sponsor. We'll mention them one more time. And so Deadly Grounds, if you like coffee, I'm drinking the chocolate right now. I know Kevin likes you're drinking the maple.
Yep, maple walnut, yeah.
Yeah. And so definitely check them out, deadlygroundscoffee.com. You'll find information in the show notes down below or up above. And here's their commercial.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds Coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
That's finally perfect.
Okay, and we are back. And Yo-Yo had a question.
Actually, I've been meaning to ask this all night, and you've obviously shown how amazing you are, you know, character development throughout the night, talking about your wrestling career and Head. Have you ever considered taking the years of experience and character development you have now in writing, either as a collaborative effort or on your own?
You know, I've entertained it. I mean, I have had my own experience with writing TV, but my writing TV is wrestling TV, which is very much, again, episodic, and, you know, it's a different animal, so I don't know how much of that experience would translate into, say, you know, writing in other forms. But I, you know, I enjoy it very much, I think that maybe if given enough time, and if I were to be able to, say, apprentice with someone, maybe it would be something I could pursue and actually enjoy and have a chance to be successful.
Nice. So, Al, what's next on your plate?
Well, next on my plate is first and foremost is my opportunity with Max. As far as wrestling, you know, I'll continue to expand the academies around the world. Internationally, I also am coming out with a supplement and fitness wear line called XF, the XF brand, and high-end supplements that actually taste really good and actually have the ingredients in them to allow you to, you know, achieve the goals that you want to achieve. And you know, I'm looking to really try to build an acting career. I've, you know, gotten a, I've done a lot of, like you said, a lot of independent movies, and have enjoyed every one of them, and I'd like to continue to go that direction, you know, and really start to transition maybe a lot more out of wrestling and focus more on that, the acting. And I'm hoping that, like, you know, great opportunities like this with Max will allow me to do that.
Well, speaking of Max, so I got some pictures coming up here for May Day. And you, Max, you're always working. You got a ton of projects coming on. So what's the next movie that people can see from you?
About me? Oh, okay. Okay, first of all, thank you so much, Al, for the opportunity to finally work with you. So right now we are working on finishing May Day and Lockdown. They're both in post-production. They will be bought out for 2018. We are waiting for the last VFX for May Day, plane, of course. And the composer started yesterday the soundtrack for Lockdown. The composer is Scott Glasgow. Scott Glasgow is the guy behind the music of Spider-Man 2 and Captain America Civil War. So he's a friend of mine. So he charged me, thank God, way less than what he charged Hollywood. So I really appreciate it. Thank you, Scott, if you're listening to this. We have a new plane movie. I cannot say the title, but there will be Al Snow and Michael Paré opposite to each other. So it will be fun to watch. I decided to do another plane movie because, thank God, at the American film market, I was asked by 6-7 different distributors, Cinetel, iOctane Picture, and a bunch of other ones I can't remember right now due to my Alzheimer's, that if May Day was available. And of course, I had to say no because we already had distribution with Taylor and Dodge. So my producer, my executive producer and I, we were talking and he said, why don't we do another plane movie? And a bunch of the distributor, they jumped, you know, right on board, wanted, you know, to, of course, to help us distributing the movie domestic and international. So this year, 2018, will be pretty much three movies of mine. Two are on the plane, one are in a jail. So stay tuned for more. Hopefully soon, I will have some more good news. But all of them, they will be available on Redbox, Hulu or Netflix. I don't know yet. One is one of the two, because they cannot have, you know, the same movie. And we'll have physical distribution as well, DVD, Blu-ray, VOD, and we are going for a limited theatrical release as well.
Nice.
So lots of work. That's why a lot of gray beard, you know, coming back. More white coming out. That's why I have a hat. That's a lot of white. So yeah,
that's why I have a hat too. It's not because of anything, nothing else.
You're in good company.
So, but no, we are in you know, in a good spot. Stay tuned for more about the new plane movie, and we will have you know, maybe a teaser trailer coming at the end of February, because we start shooting February 15, and we'll be shooting for always 2 weeks as usual. So I'll get, you know, more white, which is cool, and we'll be ready for the distribution in April.
Awesome! It's always good to, you know, hear you always have something good going on. So it's always awesome.
Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah, and I'm very curious to see how, you know, the project comes out with Al. You know, so that'll be great to see him. His role opposite Michael, so that's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
it'll be really good. It'll be really good. Then, good role. Well, we have a great screenwriter writing the screenplay as we speak. We are on page 60. The screenwriter is the same that he did the movie Forgotten with Danny Trejo, Michael Paré, of course, as well, Dolph Lundgren. He did the other movies as well, but right now my brain is not working correctly. So Weaponize is one of them. So. He does good stuff. He does good stuff. Good writer. He's very, you know, down to earth with no ego. same as Al, you know, which seems strange, you know, as a wrestler, but really a very good guy. No ego, no attitude, good person. Same thing, Michael Pare. So it's a good team. So nobody is an asshole pretty much on set.
And you have me down. And from our previous talks, you have another Michael joining you as well in one of your upcoming projects.
I didn't hear you, sorry.
Oh, I said we talked previously, you have another Michael joining your projects. Is that somebody you can mention?
Michael Wainwright?
No, began with an I.
Michael Ironside.
Oh, Ironside. Yes, Ironside. We are having him on hold, unfortunately. Okay. So Ironside will be hopefully for another movie on a boat. So you know, I have to do everything. So a boat, a plane, a train. So.
other ways of transportation. There's a rickshaw movie. Have
you done a rickshaw movie in China? It's more expensive, right. Though.
Teleportation.
Teleportation is more expensive. Sci-fi.
Wheelbarrow could be pretty cheap to make.
Wheelbarrow. I need a good stuntman for
this. And if you can't find a nice wheelbarrow, I see shopping carts everywhere. So just get one of those.
Two wrestlers and a bicycle.
Yeah, nothing better than a good wheelbarrow. You know,
I'll actually. Many years ago, if you still remember, to do a movie called Operation Snowstorm with him and his colleague to be two undercover cop, but it's more like a fun comedy, fun buddy cop movie. So hopefully we'll one of these days we will do it before I die, hopefully. So
yeah. Al Snow and
put a wheelbarrow
in the buddy cop movie.
Wheelbarrow. And he's so strong, you know, he can raise the wheelbarrow by himself and go. So.
And
I love wheelbarrows.
Of course, May Day, you have one of our favorite people, Chanel Ryan, is going to be joining you on May Day.
Oh no. No, Chanel is great. Chanel is great, actually. I'm joking, of course. Yeah. She's good. She's also in lockdown. So, very, very good person. Very good person.
The bearded slasher is asking, any plans for Al to make special entry into the Royal Rumble anytime soon?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, no. You know, I can't say no, but at this point in time, nobody's contacted me. So, you know, but you never say never with WWE. Never
can you never. Say yes or no to next Monday?
I can't really say.
Okay.
Yeah, another receipt.
Next Monday.
Well, that's a big anniversary.
It's a very big anniversary, 25 years.
Mm-hmm. I've been out of the loop for a long time. I did see Al Snow wrestle back in the 90s, I would say, probably late 90s, at the Worcester Palladium. Which used to be called EM Lowe's with us.
Oh, yeah.
That was back in the day. Good times.
Do you remember that? Someone
got stabbed. Yeah, remember? I was the kid with the long ginger hair.
I was you, 37C.
Wow. Yeah. Gosh, we shared a moment.
Yeah. No. Just I remember it was probably the most insane wrestling I've ever seen was at that show. Like, because there's a balcony there, and someone literally went off the balcony into the ring, like the set someone up. Yeah, it was like I don't know. It was insane. That was back when extreme wrestling was really, really extreme. You know, so yeah. That was
with
back
Antonio Inoki. Remember Antonio Inoki?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, very well.
Yeah, that's old school, guy. Very few of you listeners knows this, but.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some out there.
Yeah, we're old school. Yeah. Millennials like Antonio Inoki. Who the hell is that? Yeah. Italian Japanese wrestler? Yes.
Yeah. Legend in Japan.
Yes.
Well, we have one last question from YouTube. Bearded Snow is asking, what does Al think of the current roster? For me, Braun Strowman is on fire right now. They are hitting all the marks with him.
Braun Strowman's doing great. I think he's got the size, the look, the intensity, the believability. That's the key, is believability. You know, I don't think that there's quite yet. They haven't found, or the wrestlers always say that they have to find their own voice, who they are. That's the most important thing. You've got to be able to have an audience, have the ability to describe you to their friends and family in a sentence or less to motivate them to watch. And, you know, the current roster has a lot of potential, but there's not one yet that's like a real breakout, like a Hulk Hogan or a Steve Austin quite yet on that level, or Rock, you know, or the next John Cena. But give it time, because it takes a lot of years and it takes a lot of experience and to find that voice, to find that thing that connects and that, you know, takes them to that level. And it will. They always do.
Yeah. I think Bray Wyatt's going to be the next, you know.
The next, you know what?
Yeah, you know.
The next, you know. I'm assuming
you know. That's a very in-depth statement. They had a very good in-depth statement there, buddy. Thanks.
Bray Wyatt, senior?
Any last questions from our roster here before we wrap things up?
No, you know.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
You know. Wolf said it best.
You know.
Well, I want to thank everybody for.
Boy, that Bray Wyatt, he's going to be some. You know.
Wait, one of those. No. You know. No. It could be anything. It could be the next superstar, the next good or murder bad. Suspect.
We're not quite sure what you know is, but he's going to be it. That's what he's going to do. He's going to be you know. That's what it is.
New shirts coming out soon. Hey, I'm the next you know.
I'm the next you
know. I'm kind of like a you know in Japan, you know.
Oh, man. He's dying over there.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry.
Turn off the audio.
I want to thank everybody for watching tonight. Make sure you check out the show notes down below or up above to make sure you follow our fine guests here and our co-hosts. And we're doing this show once a week, every Tuesday. Every Tuesday.
With a lot of you know, guys.
You know.
It's a good show, though.
Yeah. Hey, before we go, I just wanted to tell everybody they can follow me on social media at The Real Al Snow on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, The Real Al Snow, because, yes, there were some actual fake accounts. When I would find them, I would message them and go, really, guys? Come on. You've set the bar low. If you're going to fake being a celebrity, shouldn't you try to aim a little higher? You know? Come on.
Well,
like get Bray Wyatt because he's going to be the next, you know.
That's his Twitter handle. The next, you know.
The next, you know.
Bray Wyatt, the next, you know.
The next good star, you know, the next superstar. You know. You guys are evil, poor Wolf. Yeah.
I know.
You know, he's used to me at least. Then.
Hey guys, come on now. It's not his fault. The medication kicked in right as he was having a conversation.
Wolf
wants to kill everybody right now. I don't
blame him.
But he's across the country, so he's fine.
Yeah. So we do three shows a week. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. we do The Dorkening. Every Tuesday at 9 p.m. The Wicked Horror Show. And every other Thursday we do The Video Game Show on Thursdays at 9 p.m. And we talked to Al, where you can follow him, The Real Al Snow. Max, where do you like people following you?
Oh, The Real Max. No, I'm joking. You can find me on, actually only on Facebook, because I'm always there. So my full name, I think there will be something appearing underneath me.
There is, yeah.
No? Yes? Oh, okay. Yep. So you can find me here, I think. And I'm always on Facebook, so,
You know.
Feel free to send me a message. I have only a spot for 9 people. So,
9 people.
You know, send me an invitation. Ask me to, you know, whenever it works, whenever it is.
Yeah.
Follow me. All my posts are private.
Because Max is kind of a big, you know, So
start with an A.
And just to let everybody know, the Sid Haig and R.A. Mihailov episode dropped on the podcast version of the show. So if you missed today's show, the video will be archived. Or if you want to listen to your drive to work, make sure you subscribe. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever your podcasts are found. And CP, where do you like people following you?
Will I Like It Review? Oh. And the, you know, down here.
You know.
That's it.
Yo.
BoyMeetsPhone.com. Also BoyMeetsPhone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Wherever you're doing your social media, it should probably be somewhere around there. New England Comic Con Reviews at anycomicconreviews.com. And, of course, here on the Dork Nation.
Tony.
You can find me on Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, on Twitter, and on HorrorMino, as well as the Stardust app. You can find me on Instagram, Tony's Movies, where I show off the movies behind me. Unless, of course, my picture is pixelated and you can't see anything. Or you can find me on The Dorkening here on Tuesdays, on some Sundays, and for the video game show.
Thursdays.
Wolfie.
Thursdays.
Well, you can find me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday in the Dark, every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show. Doing Horror One with Kev. When we're done with that, we're doing the Wicked Horror Reviews once a month. I do American Werewolf and London with CP over on Where I Like It Reviews. And my latest sit-down just went up, so check it out.
By the way, you can also find me home, which I have my address out there.
He's got a new food time. He's got a place to hang out. Yeah.
Actually, just arrived.
Got a place to crash.
Yeah. You can find me, A Knuckle, on Twitter, Instagram, A Knuckle Free, Snapchat. Sunday on Dorkening, Tuesday at Wicked Hard Show, doing the stuff with Wolfie, and that's about it.
Yeah. And I keep on forgetting to introduce myself. My name is Leo. I'm the monkey behind the wheels here, just hitting all the buttons. And definitely make sure you follow everybody here and our sponsor, Deadly Grounds. And with that, we want to thank you all for watching. We'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Yes. Bye, guys.
You know.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience, where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And The Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.